Good morning. If this is your first time, my name is Ben. I am the college pastor here, and I get to preach today, so I'm excited to do that. If this is not your first time, I just want you guys to know I really love you, and I'm really honored to be a part of this church, and thank you for putting up with me for so long and watching me grow from a small child into a young adult man. So thank you. I appreciate it. Aw, I love you too, random person. That was my sister. I'm just kidding. That's right. Okay, well, today we are finishing up our truth series, and the last couple sermon series we've done, I kind of get the last slot, and sometimes that's good. You get to put a bow on it, but sometimes it's bad because everyone has stolen every scripture about that topic, but I don't think that happened this time. So we are going to be talking about the spirit of truth. So over the last month or so, we've been talking about truth, the importance of truth, how we live in a culture where truth is attacked. It's dying in the streets, the prophet Isaiah said, right? And we live in a culture where the culture fights truth. It doesn't want to be defined or put in a box of truth. And so or if this is your first time, we believe the Bible gives us the truth. Yes. Then last week, Pastor Ron talked about that the truth is not just facts, but it's actually a person. That the person of Jesus, he is the King of truth. And so there's facts, but there's a relationship we have with Jesus. So today we're going to end it with the spirit of truth. So let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for today. Father, I pray that you would help me preach, Lord. Help me bring your word. Lord, I pray that you would speak to your people. Father, I pray that you would come in and illuminate and lighten your word to us. Father, that if you don't do that, then these are just words. And Lord, I also pray that you would help us apply this word to our lives so that it's not just another Sunday, but that we really honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. About 10 days ago, my family and I, we went to Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we were going because my uncle was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and it was stage 4, so it was very serious, and the doctors told him, you have about 2 months to 2 years to live. So we all hurried, bought some tickets, ran up there, hurried up there, and we got there Monday night, and by the time we got there, the diagnosis went from he's got 2 years to live to let's call hospice, he could die any second. And so our trip turned from a family trip to get a couple last moments with our uncle to more of a trip where we have to support our cousins as they get the last few seconds on earth with their father. And in the back of my mind, I love my cousins, and I was thinking, you know what, I really want to bring the love and the truth of Jesus to them. Because when someone dies, it's very traumatic. And my uncle, praise God, he is a lovely, believing Christian. He leads worship, he loves the Lord, and he's a great man. Unfortunately, most of his kids have kind of fallen away. They've either downgraded or just dissolved their faith in Jesus. And I remember thinking, okay, the truth is that Jesus loved their father. Their father's going to heaven. But I'm worried about them. That this same Jesus who your father put all this trust in, you're not putting your trust in him. And I remember thinking, how in this moment can I share the truth with them without offending them, being insensitive, or Bible bashing them? And if you have friends or family who are not saved, I'm sure every Thanksgiving dinner, this thought crosses your mind. How do I share truth without starting a civil war in my own family? And I remember thinking that my cousins, they need truth, but they really need the spirit of truth inside them. They need something, the power, the presence of God, to come inside them and to turn on their mind so that, the truth that they're hearing, they can apply to their life and they can actually get saved. And so today I want to talk to you about that. External truth is great. The Word of God is wonderful. all of God's laws that we see in creation. It's amazing. It's wonderful. And even relationship with Jesus, knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus, it's wonderful. But if the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, does not come inside you and illuminate and empower you to live out this truth, it's not going to do very much for you. So the first slide I have for you, it's called The Sources of Truth. And if you are a Bible scholar and you're into epistemology, this is not a complete understanding of knowledge, but this is a very practical, for us, a practical knowledge of where truth comes from. So the first one is science. God has put in the earth his natural laws and in his creation natural things that give us truth. So the first thing is like a law of gravity, right? If I drop something, it will fall. Doesn't matter what I feel like, doesn't matter where I'm going, doesn't matter what country I'm in, the law of gravity will happen. Another law is the law of entropy. Things will slowly lose energy over time, right? That's a law that God has put in place. Now, science does not go against God. It actually validates God because God is the author of all science. He's the author of creation. He's the author of it. So we get the truth from creation, from natural laws. That's great, but that's not enough. If you send someone into the woods for long enough, chances are they're not going to find Jesus. They're just going to become a hippie and get a little bit weird. Okay? So it's not enough. Okay, number two, we have the scripture. Praise God for the scripture. The scripture is the foundation of everything that we believe, and it is a big source of truth. It's the revelation. It's the word of God. It's the will of God. It is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's powerful. The word of God will change your life. If all Christians would just read the Bible, the world would look totally different. The word of God, these are not ranked in importance. The word of God is so important. It's the word and will of God. Number three is the Son. This is the person, the life, relationship with Jesus. With Jesus. You cannot have truth unless you have a relationship with truth. A relationship with Jesus. Do you know the people that knew the Bible better than anyone in the world, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're the very ones who killed the author when he walked the earth. Yep. They killed Jesus. So just truth out here is not enough. You have to have a relationship with the author of truth, which is Jesus. Yep. Number four, we're talking about today is the Spirit. This is the power and revelation of the Holy Spirit. Something inside of you, the Holy Spirit comes and is with you. He convicts you, he empowers you, and he helps you apply truth in your life. Right? Now, let me give you a scientific fact. If you eat more calories than you burn, you will gain weight. Fact. It's a fact. Okay? But how many of us know that we live our life knowing that fact, but not living according to that fact? How many know that if you save more money than you spend, chances are you will become wealthy? Right? But we don't do that, do we? Facts don't change you.
That's right.
Even good facts, even if you come to church and write down the facts in your notepad, they don't change you. Even if you go to small group, life group, Bible study, and you've grown up and you're like, Ben, I know all this. Give me something new. Give me a new fact today. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm not here to tickle your ears. Change comes by the Spirit of truth helping you, making you, forming you to change. To change. And all the sources of truth, they're not isolated. They all point to each other. Did you know that science points to the Word of God, it points to Jesus, and it points to the Holy Spirit? Did you know that the Scripture points to nature, it points to Jesus 100%, and it points to the empowering of the Holy Spirit? Did you know that Jesus was so obsessed with giving God all the glory and only doing what God told him to do through the Word of God? And he's the one who promised us the Holy Spirit? And did you know the Holy Spirit, all it wants to do is honor Jesus and honor God? So they're not disconnected. They're all connected. So this is just the final piece to the puzzle. Let me give you three scriptures. John 14:16-17. And I, Jesus speaking, will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even, here it is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You will know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So Jesus, who just before, this is like right after the scripture where Jesus says, I am the truth. He says, I'm leaving. I'm giving you the Spirit of truth, who will not dwell next to you, but will dwell in you. This is the Spirit of truth. Our next scripture, John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So here Jesus goes again. He's talking about this Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit that's going to come empower you and be with you and live in you and teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance. Next scripture, John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. This is the Spirit of truth. Okay, I'm going to pick a random member from the audience, okay? I'm going to pick a random member. Nelson, awesome. Right, Nelson, come stand right here. So Nelson, randomly picked. He did not know this was happening. Stand right, there you go. Nelson is my intern for ENC. He's doing a great job. He's a man of God. And Nelson, I really want you to have the truth. So let me ask you a question. And you just go like this if it's a yes or this if it's a no. Okay. Do you love God? Okay. Computer says no. I'm just kidding. Do you want to obey God? Do you love the truth? Are you perfect? Sometimes. No. Okay. Right. Are you going to give your heart to Jesus and do whatever you can to obey him? Okay. So here's a scripture for you. Matthew 5:28. Be perfect, for your heavenly Father is perfect. Go and sin no more. Congratulations. There you go. That's the truth. Just go live it. It takes more than that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, everyone give Nelson a round of applause. So, the reason I illustrated that is because we often treat ourselves like that, don't we?
Yeah.
Save money, okay, just do it forever. Eat less, okay, done, forever. Work out, okay, done, right? Read my Bible, okay, done, right? Instead of understanding that, even though we can mentally assent to things, it's so hard to change and apply things, isn't it? And so, the whole relationship, the reason we have church is not just to talk about truth, but it's to spend moments with the Holy Spirit to empower us to live out the truth. Got a couple quotes for y'all. Dwight L. Moody, please look up these people. These were unbelievable men of God. He says, the Bible without the Holy Spirit is a sundial by moonlight. A sundial is how you could tell time back in the day. The sun would shine and depending on the shadow, you knew what time it was. It says, the Bible is great, but with the Holy Spirit, it comes alive. Adrian Rogers says, when you educate without the Holy Spirit, you only get a clever devil. It's very true. Ravi Zacharias said, an argument may remove doubt, but only the Holy Spirit can convict of truth. I've talked to so many people, especially on campus, and you're in a debate, talk about faith, about God, and you win. I win. I win the argument. Like, I win. And they're like, you know what? Don't care. I'm still going to live my life the way I want to. Because it's the Spirit of truth that convicts. It's the Spirit of truth that makes that knowledge applicable and actually gives you the power to actually do it. So here's the question for today, and this is, I hope you're all thinking this, but how do we go from knowing the truth to doing the truth? How do we get there? What are some practical steps? I got two more scriptures for y'all. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make, it's a great word, make your path straight. John 8, 32. Then you will know the truth. Okay, no, I know it. And the truth shall make you free. This word make is very important. I need the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the truth, to not just lead me, help me, but I need it to make me free. I need it to make me. Okay, who here, when you were growing up, played with Legos? Legos. Okay, if you did not put your hands up, you need to talk to your parents after this, because it's not abuse, but it's not good, okay? Legos, I cannot wait till KJ can play with Legos. I cannot wait. Legos are wonderful. We used to have thousands of Legos. My cousins had Legos, we had Legos, and I would spend hours just building these starships and all this stuff, and it was amazing, and it was wonderful, and I think I am where I am today because of Legos, in part. It's just unleashed my mind. No, but Legos are amazing. But if I had a big bucket of Legos and I just poured it right here, would the Legos ever make themselves into anything? No. Never. Right? But if myself or someone came along, we could use the Legos to make something. Maybe the Spirit of Truth is already inside you, but you're not giving them enough pieces to make anything with. You see, the Holy Spirit can only make something with the available pieces that you give him. That's really important. Remember that one. So maybe you're here for the first time. You're like, I don't even know what the Spirit of Truth is. I'm learning it. This is all new for me. Some of y'all have been here for years, and you're like, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I have the Spirit of Truth. I want to do what's good. And maybe this is for you. Maybe you don't give the Holy Spirit enough pieces. Maybe you don't give the Holy Spirit enough time. Maybe you don't give the Holy Spirit your full heart. Maybe you don't give the Holy Spirit your full attention. Maybe when you read your Bible, your phone's going off, and you check it every once in a while. Maybe you just check a box. Maybe you have this little church thing you do on Sunday, but you don't give him every hour of every day. What pieces are you giving the Spirit of Truth? Billy Graham said, the Holy Spirit illuminates the minds of people. He makes us yearn for God and takes spiritual truth and makes it understandable to us. I love that. When you give the Holy Spirit pieces of you, he will make you into different things. He makes us yearn. Oh, I want to yearn for God, but sometimes I don't. It's like I want to yearn to work out. I want to yearn to be a better person. I want to yearn. I want it to come from me. I want it to be the desire of my heart. But so many times it's not, and I'm having to force myself to do different things. But the Holy Spirit, it's like cheat codes. It's like steroids. It just makes you into something. It's amazing. Cheat codes is a video game term, if y'all didn't know. It makes it understandable to us. So let's look at some of the roles or some of the things the Spirit of Truth does. Now, I think it's very important that the Spirit of Truth does not just beat you over the head and tell you this is true, this is not true. If you fail, I'm going to leave you. Thank God the Spirit of Truth is much more than just your conscience, right? So the first thing the Spirit of Truth does is it reveals truth to us. Now, there's a lot of great things we can learn from nature, we can learn in the Bible, we can learn at church, but how many of y'all know that after church today, when you have to decide where to go eat, You could look through every scripture in the Bible, Greek, Hebrew, whatever language, it will not tell you where to go eat. It will not tell you who to marry. It'll not tell you what city to live in. It'll not tell you that deep, dark, hidden sin in your life. Only the Spirit of truth can do that. So we need the Bible. We need fellowship. We need wisdom. We need people. But you know what we really need? We need the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us. Both situationally, what we're supposed to do, but also, hey, when you responded okay, but your heart was bitter. You were angry. There was hatred. Or guess what? You're hurting. There's trauma there. You need to tell someone about that. Or you know what? You're treating that person bad because somebody else treated you bad. There's been so many times I've been saved by the Spirit of truth revealing to me knowledge and information, either about a situation or about myself. It reveals truth. When it reveals truth, many times it's not just giving us the answer, like, hey, pick this lottery number, right? A lot of times it's very convicting. It convicts you. It convicts you. But it also gives you amazing freedom, because sometimes people will try to put a burden on you, and the Spirit of truth will say, no, I don't want you to wear that. That's their junk. That's what they're dealing with. There's a lot of times even Christians will try to put stuff on you, expectations, things on you that seem biblical, but they're not. And the Spirit of truth will say, no, I've given you freedom in Christ. You don't need to walk in that. But I would get a second opinion on that too, because we are deceitful. Our hearts are very deceitful. So I'm not saying just don't listen to anybody, don't have any authority in your life. What I'm saying is there are people with bad motives who are trying to, you know, I think Paul said, he said, people are spying on our freedom in Christ to try to take us captive. So the Spirit of truth, it can reveal truth, which is knowledge. It can convict us. It can liberate us. The Spirit of truth is wonderful. We need this. I don't know how people live and try to follow God without the Spirit of truth operating in them. It's amazing. It's the reason I'm in Tallahassee. No other spirit wanted me to come here. The Spirit of truth said, Ben, this is God. You need to do it. Okay, praise God. But guess what? The Holy Spirit knows that we're human. We make mistakes. So what else does it do? It helps us and it comforts us. And we're not going to turn to all those scriptures, so just those are for you to look up later. But the Holy Spirit helps us and comforts us. Why? Because even when the Spirit of truth reveals something to us, sometimes we don't do it. So he comforts us. Or we're trying to do the right thing, and someone hurts us. Something bad happens to us. So the Holy Spirit comforts us. Or sometimes the Holy Spirit will reveal a truth that we see that's really hard to deal with. And then he says, okay, I'm going to comfort you. Now, I remember when I was first really getting serious about allowing the Spirit of truth in my life, and it seemed like every day some evil desire in my heart was revealed. Have y'all ever done anything and you're just like, who was that? That was not me. Like, someone cuts you off in traffic, and you haven't sworn in like a decade, and you swear, you're like, what? Where did that come from? Or somebody from your childhood says something, and you're just like, you know? Or someone asks you to do some chores, and your selfishness really comes out. Or someone asks you to move, and you're like, no, never. You know? But I remember there was like a week where like every day something would happen, and I'm like, I'm the worst human being alive. Like, deep down, I'm very evil. But I remember at the same time, I was also receiving comfort from the same Holy Spirit. He would reveal a truth. Hey, you're wicked and evil. You need to repent. Here's comfort. I'm going to change you. I'm going to change you. Give it to me. I'm going to change you. Number three, the Spirit of truth heals us. Praise God. Ugh. I'm so glad that God gave us the helper, the healer, the comforter. Because I need healing. You need healing. The world needs healing. Right? There's a lot of major issues going on today in America. And a lot of times, the reason people don't just need truth, they need the Spirit of truth, is because they need healing. Because they can't handle the truth. But really, really nobody can. Nobody can handle the truth. Because when you show me the truth, guess what? I've messed up. I haven't done it. I've failed that. I've lived my life opposite of the truth. So sometimes people need healing and to be comforted, and then the truth can be applied in their life. There's so many people I've met, especially on college campuses, that they'll argue with me and they'll put up these defenses, and the Holy Spirit will tell me they're not actually arguing the point. They're really hurt. They need to be healed. They need to be healed. So that's why people, they need the truth, but they need the Spirit of truth. Number four, the Spirit of truth empowers us. This is wonderful. I think the greatest testament to the church today is not only that Jesus forgives people, but that he gives us power over sin. I think that is the greatest thing ever. The church is not supposed to be just a bunch of forgiven people that confess their sins and sin all week. The church is supposed to be full of empowered, powerful, strengthened believers that the Holy Spirit has attacked and eviscerated sin in their life. Now, I'll tell you what, this takes a long time sometimes. There were sin patterns in my life. I remember when I first got saved, I was still struggling with lust, drinking, huge insecurities. But the Spirit of truth, over time, defeated those things in me. And the more pieces I gave to the Holy Spirit, the more I became whole, and he made in me someone who could say no to sin and yes to righteousness. Good. And it was nothing I did. It was all the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. But the Spirit of truth is here to empower us to tithe, empower us to serve, empower us to share the gospel, empower us to read the Bible, empower us to come to church every single Sunday, even when we don't want to. The Holy Spirit is here to empower us. Has anyone ever signed up for a class that you thought was going to be super easy, but turned out to be very difficult? Anybody? Every student should put your hand up. You're like, oh, okay, this is fun and leisure activities 101. This is going to be great, you know? And it's like, okay, day one, you have a essay, you know? I remember in University of Hawaii, in my undergrad, I had to, you know, take my electives, right? And I'm not a science guy. I love scientists. You know, there's a couple in the family, but I'm not a science guy. That's just not me. Praise God. That's not me. The Spirit of truth has not given me that yet. So maybe one day. Maybe he'll help me and heal me. But I took a class, and I thought this was going to be the best class because I love working out. I love health and nutrition. So I thought the easiest science class in the world, health and nutrition. Awesome. I love health. I love to eat. I went in there, and day one, I realized, oh, my dear God, what have I done? It was all of these names and terms. I have no idea what they're talking about. Okay, can I be honest? Who names scientific things, right? It makes no sense. They sound so silly. Anyway, it was like the cells and this and that and the protein and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, I want to know, like, what do I eat? What do I not eat? Like, how do I work out? I don't want to know all the different, you know. But I remember, I'm like, I'm going to fail this class. I'm going to fail. This is the only class I really struggled with in my undergrad, right? Because I knew how to work the system. But I was like, I'm going to fail. I'm going to sit on the front row, be nice to the teacher, go to office hours, schmooze. I got a lot of B's and A's just for being a nice guy. I was going to fail this class. And I'm like, this is way harder than I thought it was. I feel like Christianity can be like that sometimes. I feel like trying to live this life according to the truth can be like that. It's like, dope, I can live life according to truth, great. And then life hits you, you're like, wait a second, this is way harder. And you need someone or something to help you. And I'm not proud of it. I may or may not have got some help on the final that the person didn't know they were helping me, but they helped me. It was a sin. It's called cheating. I passed the class. It's awful. It's terrible. The spirit of truth, I was not listening to it. Don't cheat. Do not cheat. I'm not saying that. Do not hear that. But the point is I needed help, okay? And the Holy Spirit can help us. The Holy Spirit should help me. Now, I tell students, don't cheat. Do not cheat. It's not worth it. But anyway, the point is the Holy Spirit can help us in life because it's much harder than we think it's going to be. Praise God. Okay. Do you know what the worst thing that can happen to your home is? I'm a homeowner now. Praise God. Spirit of truth. Let's go. Do you know what the worst thing that can happen to your home is? It's not a flood. It's not fire. It's not your plumbing not working. It's not an animal getting in the house. None of that. Do you know what the worst thing is? It's when your internet goes out. Terrible. You're just sitting around, what am I supposed to do with my life? Can't watch TV, can't get on your computer, can't get on your phone. You've talked about everything you could ever talk about. You're like, why don't we have any puzzles? Anyway, it's the worst thing. It's not really, but it's terrible, right? When your internet goes out, you're like, what am I going to do with my life? And I feel like the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is very much like our internet source. It's like our Wi-Fi connection to God, to truth. And all of us, we have our homes, we have our Christian lives built up, we have our phones and our computers, we have all this stuff that's connected. I mean, I don't think our microwave works without the internet. But we have all that it does, but I'm just kidding. Everything we need has to be connected to the internet. And so when we go through life not connected to the Spirit of truth, not letting truth empower us and be inside of us and help us and lead us and guide us and heal us and comfort us and empower us, it's like we go through life and everything is disconnected and not working. And I'm sure you know moments of your life when you were connected to the Spirit of truth. And life is wonderful when you let the Holy Spirit have his way in your life. So how do we connect to the truth? Here's five really practical, really easy steps. Number one, read the Bible. If you do not know what truth is, you can never hear the Spirit of truth. I'll tell you that right now. That's how cults form. If you do not know the Word of God, that little, small, quiet voice in your head could just be you. It may not be the Holy Spirit. If you do not know the Word of God, that small, quiet voice that you think is the Holy Spirit may just be you or some bad leftovers you had. Read the Bible. You must read the Bible. You must know the Bible. You must love the Bible. You must appreciate the author of the Bible. You must kind of become obsessed with the Bible. If we would just relax, let's just relax one second. Just chill. You're going to read this for the rest of your natural born days. So just get used to it. There's no rush. There's no 20-minute, I've got to get 4 chapters or I'm a failure. Just take your time. You're going to read, hopefully you'll read through the Bible 20-plus times in your life. Joel's like, challenge accepted. I'm already halfway there. Read the Bible. Number two, pray from the heart. Pray from the heart. Okay, if I handed one of y'all a mic and said, pray, you would lock into, okay, remember your training, pray like you've been taught, or you've heard. That's not the prayer I'm talking about. Pray from your heart. Pray from your heart. Pray things like, Jesus, I love you. Holy Spirit, help me. God, I'm so thankful. Pray from the heart. You can pray from the mind, but pray from the heart. Jesus, if you don't show up, I don't know what to do. Spirit of truth, if you don't empower me to say no to sin, I will be a slave to sin for the rest of my days. Holy Spirit, if you don't show me my future husband or wife, I will be single till I die. Pray from the heart. Number three, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. There's so many people, and I do this all the time, and I catch myself and I hate it, is we'll pray like this, God, heal that person. Lord, provide for my need. Lord, pay this bill. Lord, punish that wicked person. Lord, this. Lord. And we're like, I'm like, who am I talking to? Pastor Ron would say, be tender to the Holy Spirit. Be tender to God. It's beautiful. Be tender. Be sensitive. Don't just approach the throne of God banging on cymbals. Come in, bow down, kneel, worship, praise him. Be sensitive. God, what do you want me to pray today? Good. Holy Spirit, I got this need. I'm about to go to debtor's prison, but what do you want to do in me? Right? There was a situation that happened this week where I'm like, I'm so sick of dealing with this situation. I was like, God, can you just please take this away from me? And I heard it clear as day. The Holy Spirit said, Ben, if I took that away, you would not be as desperate for me as you are now. And I want you to be desperate for me with or without situations. So I got to keep it in your life. Like, okay. Thank you, Lord. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive. Be sensitive. We don't have time to go into it today, but you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can sadden the Holy Spirit. You can please the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is sensitive. You should be sensitive too. Number four, yield control / obey. 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 Why would God ever speak to you if you're not going to obey? I don't talk to people that don't listen to me. I talk to people that listen to me and care about what I have to say. If you're not going to listen to me, I'm not going to talk to you. And thankfully, God is more mature than me by a long shot. But God, I think it works the same way. If you yield control and say, God, I will do whatever you want me to do in this situation today, that really honors God. And the Spirit of truth just loves that. Yield control and obey. Yield control and obey. And number five, pursue consistent relationship. This is where you have to build a discipline. Now, just because the Spirit of God will make you free or will make your path straight, you still, like the Lego pieces, have to be available daily, consistently. And the people that really succeed in this life are not the ones that go on spurts. Wow, that's a great conference. Boom. Wow, my devotion is great for 2 weeks. Boom. Wow, I led person to Jesus. That's great. Boom. The people that really do well, my heroes of the faith, are the ones that pursue consistent relationship with Jesus every single day. Did you know Billy Graham, who arguably was one of the greatest evangelists to ever live, they asked him on his deathbed, they said, Reverend Billy, I don't know, Mr. Graham, they said, do you have any regrets? He said, I have one regret. He said, if I could do it all over again, I would do less big meetings and crusades. I would have spent more time, more nights alone with God in my Bible. And so obviously, we have to obey the Spirit of truth. If the Holy Spirit leads you to do a big revival or big crusade, then do that. But if the Holy Spirit leads you to stay at home and spend time with him, that's what we're supposed to do. That's the principle here. As he was saying, I wish I read my Bible more. I wish I prayed from the heart more. I wish I was more sensitive. I wish I obeyed more, and I wish I pursued more consistent relationship. And here's a man who arguably dedicated his entire life and lived out lordship better than most. And I think if it's good enough for Billy Graham, I think it's good enough for us too. But the Spirit of truth must be inside of us. It must be empowering us, strengthening us, encouraging us, comforting us. Because without the Spirit of truth, it's just knowledge. It's just out there. But it'll never change our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Holy Spirit, on this Pentecost Sunday, we thank you that you are here with us, that God gave us truth, that Jesus came down as truth, lived with us, died for us, forgave our sins, and that you gave us the Holy Spirit. Now that is the Spirit of truth that can live inside of us. And Holy Spirit, we just honor you. We just say you're welcome in this room. We thank you for an amazing church service. We thank you for an amazing worship, praise and worship before service. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would have your way here today, that you would touch each person's heart right now, and that you would convict those that need to be convicted, that you would bring freedom to those that need freedom, and that you would heal those that need healing. Holy Spirit, only you know what's going on with each person. And I pray that you would give us all the strength to give you more pieces of us so that you can make us free and you can make our way straight. That we don't have to strive, but we give pieces to you and you will make it happen. And Holy Spirit, we love you. We invite you to do whatever you want to do. If there's anyone in here that, as I was speaking or as I was praying, you just felt the Holy Spirit just nudge in your heart an area that you need prayer for, I just want to encourage you, please come up after the service. Our prayer team, we'd love to pray for you. Whatever that is, if it's freedom from sin, freedom from addiction, healing, comfort, miracles, whatever it is, encouragement, I just encourage you, please come see one of our staff members. Please don't leave here without getting the prayer that you need. So Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this service. I pray that you would bless every single person in this room and all of our members who are traveling right now. I pray that this summer would be transformational, that we would learn the truth through your word, but we would also invite your Holy Spirit to help us live out the truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Well, thank you for being here today. If you need prayer, our prayer team will be up the front. If not, have a wonderful day. Enjoy this fantastic California weather. And God bless you. See you this week.